We are alive today because of our ancestors. We tend to forget this because we live in a society that very much encourages, and one might say worships, individual skill and achievement. It also much prefers the new over old ways. But think about it. Quite literally, we exist only because our ancestors were healthy enough, observant enough, crafty, skilled, productive, and inventive enough to survive what life threw at them. We are alive because ancestors took care of their families. And even if they did poorly at that, someone else stepped in to be an ancestor by proxy, one could say. I'd like to show you something that might put this in numerical context. I found this on Facebook one day. So it goes through the number of people needed for you to be alive. And the number is astounding, 2,048 ninth great grandparents. For you to be born today, from 12 previous generations, you needed a total of 4,094 ancestors over the last 400 years. So think about that. The struggles, the stories, the happiness. We really were a team effort, I would say. So we come into life with really quite a debt of gratitude. In researching for this morning, I found a website called Ancestral Medicine. Its team believes in the real presence of ancestral spirits and realms of existence beyond this earthly plane. They go so far as to say that ways in which ancestors might continue to communicate with and inspire or help us earns them goodness in the next life as well. Now, Unitarian Universalists are more interested in life on this plane, but some of what I found on that website I think might still speak to us this morning. The article looked at ways that we can repay the debt we owe to our ancestors. And primarily, they speak of fulfilling your soul's purpose as an ethical and loving person. So I'd like to share a fairly lengthy passage with you, and I think it will be food for thought. The most important and most challenging way to honor our ancestors is to fulfill our personal potential and life's purpose here on earth. Many cultures maintain that we each have a unique destiny or karma to fulfill, and that we ideally make it a high priority to remember those original instructions and do what is necessary to express our gifts, our true will, and our most authentic selves. The ancestors are seen as allies in this process of remembering and a reservoir of power and backing to help us embody our potential in this lifetime. Conversely, when we have lost touch with a sense of greater purpose, if we are fortunate, the ancestors may bring about life changes aimed to jar us into greater contact with our soul's longing and increased awareness of the agreements made before our birth. Talk of destiny and calling is all well and good, however, in reality, it's difficult to actualize our full potential until our life and relationships are more or less in order. This gradual and ongoing work of being a conscious person may include things like learning how to express emotions in healthy ways, committing to telling the truth in relationships, reaching out for necessary support to get sober, seeking education to better ourselves, taking better care of our bodies, and generally accepting greater responsibility for becoming a loving and reliable human being. Whatever helps us to become more ethical, balanced, and open-hearted people is one of the most powerful and sincere offerings we can make to our ancestors. Ironically, the very things that would drag us down are often part of our inheritance from family ancestors. Alcoholism, patterns of physical and sexual abuse, emotional cruelty and dysfunction, religious extremism, racism, sexism, wounds related to money and poverty, predisposition to physical and mental illness, and 1,001 other poisons can all be passed down along the bloodlines where they lay, seeds in our karmic profile that, if watered and with the right conditions, may grow into full-blown dysfunction. If properly understood, these challenges may implicitly point us in the direction of the antidote, often an internal resource that we also carry as a dormant ancestral inheritance. For example, physical violence can be a distortion of the gift of healthy warriorship. Fear of scarcity may mask an unhealed wound in a lineage of strong providers. Or addiction could be a way of numbing the sensitivity required of healers, artists, and lovers. In this way, the ancestors can be both the source of the hardship and the remedy. Yet every time we make the right choices when faced with these inherited patterns, we elevate both ourselves and their spirits. That's the end of that passage. The writers remind us that practicing generosity and affirming our interconnections is hallowed in many of the world's great religious traditions. It's called charity in Christianity, sadaka in Islam, tzedaka in Judaism, and dana in Buddhism and Hinduism. Catherine T. Nerney, a Roman Catholic nun in the Jesuit tradition, writes in her book, The Compassion Connection, Recovering Our Original Oneness, "This kind of mutual interdependence I sense to be true. We live in and through one another. We become ourselves only in and through a process of mutual becoming. The whole thing is one, just at different stages. All of it loved corporately by God and one hopes by us. Within this worldview, we are saved not by being privately perfect, but by being part of the body, humble links in the great chain of history. This view echoes the biblical concept of a covenant love that was granted to the Jewish people as a whole, and never just to one individual like Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Esther, or David. Similarly, the prophets and Jesus spoke both their judgments and their promises to the collective of the house of Jacob, Moab, and others, much more than they ever did to individuals. Many Christians' failure to recognize this has led to a major misinterpretation of the entire Bible." End quote. Before moving on with this theme, I want to circle back to the comment about painful inheritances. What do we do if we have ancestors who are abusive, racist, criminal, or harmful in other ways? I suppose each of us must try and make our peace with such challenges. Some might find compassion for those predecessors who did harm because of their own psychological wounds, or because they reflected the prejudices of their times, or were gripped by addiction or mental illness. Others may not be able to find that grace, so they may focus on the strength that they and others found to overcome those problems. Others still may find more spiritual traction by focusing on other ancestors whose gifts are more readily appreciated. Each of us needs to grapple with it in our own way. So what's the takeaway for us here today? Well, my hope is that we can pause to honor the many gifts that those who came before us have bestowed upon us. It is true of our biological ancestors, but also ancestors of the spirit, those who fought for freedom and equality, who challenged the theology of their time, and dared think outside the approved box. One way to honor them could be to take our place at the wheel, take up the task, and pass goodness on to others. Those others may be offspring, or it could be those we meet and influence. We can share the talents, skills, strength, inspiration, and goodness from which we have benefited. Not because we necessarily want to think that the other person deserves it, because we were given our gifts freely. So it's fitting that we pass on that grace. Some people pay forward in large and public ways. Activists, talented musicians and artists, the great writers, community organizers. I think of Empty Bowls campaign here in Thunder Bay. Most of us never reach those heights, but we have the power to do good in the small ways in our corner of the world each and every day, in how we treat the others in our immediate circle, in the nameless ones who bag our groceries, who take our information at customer support, and the ones who ask for spare change at the street corner. We can lend our lives to making other lives better. That might look like donating crafts, setting up fundraising events, selling or buying tickets. It might be in what we don't do, spread hatred and insult on social media, gossip about others, hold grudges, laugh at a racist joke because that's easier than questioning it. We can pay our gifts forward by committing to engage with others on any scale, large or small, always from our best selves, because we are all connected from generation back many generations. We are one. So may it be, and may we make it so.